It's wonderful to see all your faces, and I want to encourage you to take a Bible and turn to it. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry, just raise a hand. People like Trevor and others are just bringing around Bibles, and we're going to read a bit more of the Easter story from Luke 24. It's page 1062 in the Bibles that you're about to be given. So if you'd like to turn there with me, Luke 24. As we continue to explore this wonderful news that Easter brings all around the world. Luke 24, verses 36 to 49. I've entitled this sort of Easter weekend, both Good Friday and this message this morning, Real Love, and even thinking about real power. Boy, does our world need these things. So, page 1062, Luke 24. Verse 36. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. And he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name throughout Jerusalem, beginning at Jerusalem and to all nations. You are witnesses of these things, and I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." So, Lord Jesus, help us to understand your word. We do want to meet with you this morning and hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Where is the hope? Where is the hope for a situation like that in North Korea and that whole region? Where is the hope for a place like Syria? Well, where's the hope for those parts of our own nation, our own communities, our own families, even our own lives, where we wrestle with brokenness and pain and even that sense of internal conflict that some of the testimonies were describing? Where's the hope? Easter is about hope. Easter is about hope in the face even of death. Easter is about knowing that there is someone who came with real love and real power to bring hope to our world. But you know, as we read these stories, as we sing these songs, as we come and pray today, Easter is also a time that raises many questions in our head. Good questions. You know, the BBC did a survey last week for Palm Sunday. Maybe you saw it either on the BBC News or maybe in many of the different newspapers that covered the story. It looked at people's attitudes to life after death in the UK and also particularly to people's views about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And interestingly, in the general public of those surveyed, there was about 46%. Oh, wait, we just hold on to this one just for a moment, Mike. This is just their attitudes to life after death. 46% said they thought there was life after death. Interestingly, exactly the same number thought there wasn't. And 8% didn't know. So UK public split down the middle on whether there's life after death. But you know what I found interesting? In this whole survey, they didn't even bother to ask whether people believed that death was a reality. I mean, the questions just started with, is there life after death? I mean, all of us know that death is a reality in our world. You know, death isn't just a reality, death is a problem. It's a problem that we find disturbing, even though we all know it happens. We as a church family have had just news in these past few months of different ones, either part of the church or connected with the church, who've died. It's not easy for the families, even when it has come after a battle with disease or illness. Death is a problem. Death is what causes us to ask the question, is there life after death? And I guess as we wrestle with that question, we look around and we see this amazing claim of Easter. That Jesus rose from the dead. And so we find ourselves asking the question, well, was it true? Can we believe it? And that was the other question that they asked in this survey. And this is where we do have this graph. Thank you, Mike. And it looked at the general public, all Christians and active Christians, those who go to church regularly. And interestingly, it asked, do you believe the Bible version or do you believe in the resurrection but not quite as in the Bible, or do you not believe it or do you not know? Now, here's the interesting thing that grabbed the headlines. Even the active Christians have their doubts. So, of course, the papers love that. But, you know, it's okay to have questions. If I said to you, I've got this friend and he died and then he rose again, you'd go, yeah, that doesn't usually happen. Dead people usually stay dead. What I find interesting is that there's a bunch of the general public who actually do believe the Bible version. In fact, the stats, when you break down the general public there, had this amazing statistic that 9% of non-religious people believe in the resurrection. 1% claim they believe it literally is in the Bible. I mean, that's amazing. Because usually, dead people stay dead. So this morning, we have to face two realities. The reality of death, but also the reality of our doubts. We have to face the reality that we've got questions. We've got to face the reality that even in a group like this, there will be different ones of us who come this morning thinking different things. It is true now. It was true then. And Jesus steps into the scene back in our reading, in our passage, and he steps into our situation here, and he lovingly and gently challenges them and us. And his word to us is that death is not the final end. And that those who doubt can become those who believe. Jesus comes to those who had actually abandoned him, some had even denied him, and who had assumed he was dead. Maybe that's like you today. And yet he comes so lovingly and graciously, doesn't he? This is real love. The one who died for them, as we were seeing on Good Friday, is now coming and speaking to the very ones who abandoned him. And what's his first word to them in verse 36? Peace be with you. Peace be with you this morning. Whatever you're coming with going on in your mind, however much what has even already happened in the service has made you go, whoa, what is this all about? Hey, peace be with you, the risen Jesus says. And then he says this to them. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. He says, stop doubting and believe. And that's my first point this morning. I want to encourage you wherever you've come as you started the service. I want to encourage you, believe the resurrection story. Believe the resurrection story. There is so much evidence that you and I can investigate and look at to help us in our belief. If we had time and had read the whole of Luke's gospel, we'd discover that Luke, actually, the writer of Luke's gospel, wrote this right at the start. He carefully investigated. He says, now that many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. So with this in mind, since I myself have, read this bit with me, carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellently Theophilus, that's the guy who he's writing the book originally to. Then read this bit with me, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. We have this here. Because Luke knows that usually dead people don't rise from the dead and that we were going to have questions. And he wants to help us see the certainty of these things. And already in the things that we've had read in this service, we've seen some amazing bits of evidence. The stone was rolled away in that earthquake. A big, huge stone guarded by Roman soldiers that fled. The tomb was empty. It is still empty. No one has ever found the body of Jesus. Two angels appeared, saying, he is risen. He's not here. He's risen. And so they run and they tell the disciples. And it says in Luke 24 verse 11 that even then they did not believe the woman because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Again, we come face to face with the reality of the disciples' doubts. But then, even in the midst of that, end of this story of these two who'd seen Jesus on this road to Emmaus outside of Jerusalem. They run back and they find the disciples talking about all that's happened. And it's then that Jesus appears to them. And he comes and he stands amongst them. And he knows what's in their hearts and minds. He knows what's in my heart and your heart. What's going on in our thinking right now? He knows. And what Jesus does is he comes to them and he appeals to their senses. He knows the questions they've got. And so he says to them, verse 39, look at my hands. Look, use your sense of sight. Look at my hands. He says, look, it is I myself. You can almost hear him saying, do you recognize my voice? It's me. That sense of hearing. Look, use it. And then he says, look, touch me. Look. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and blood as I have. Use your sense of touch. Jesus knows that we struggle with the fact that dead people come back to life. And he knows that people would come up with all kinds of theories of different other ways. So one of the theories he even debunks right here. He says, look, I'm not an apparition. I'm not a ghost. This is not a hallucination. Look, come and touch me. Hey, do you want to know? I'm going to eat something for you. Because dead, hallucinated ghosts don't eat, you know, things. And so he says, give me something to eat. And they bring this broiled fish. Now, I heard of a lawyer who I actually had a chance to meet once. And he said he came to believe that the resurrection story was true and became a Christian because of the broiled fish. I actually had to look up what broiling was. It's like grilling, apparently. But broiled fish is the kind of detail that he said, as he was telling his story, as he was reading through the Bible, he thought, well, it's the kind of detail that would only be in there if this was someone's record of it. You would otherwise just say, oh, we got some food and got some fish. But if you were the one who gave him the fish, if you were the one who'd seen him take and eat the fish, you probably remember the broiled fish. And so this lawyer said, it convinced him the story was true, the account was true, The resurrection was true, that Jesus is real. This wasn't some random event. There is evidence for it that has changed many lives, my life, lives of people all over the world. In fact, Jesus reminds them that this was actually something he said would happen. He said beforehand, look down with me, verse 44, he said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. He said, it's not just something that I said was going to happen. It's been foretold long ago. There is tons of evidence that you can look at. You know, some people have set out to try and discredit the resurrection. This man here, Frank Morrison, wrote a book called Who Moved the Stone. He actually, he set out to write a book about how the resurrection didn't happen and Jesus wasn't a real character. And he writes in the preface how he ended up having to change the whole direction of the book because as he looked at the evidence, he became convinced that it was true. Lee Strobel's a more of a recent author. He was an investigative journalist for the Chicago Tribune. And Lee Strobel's wife became a Christian. And he was like, oh, man, she's bought into all this silly nonsense and, you know, stuff that's not true. So he said, I know, I'll do an investigative journalist stuff, prove to her that it's a bunch of rubbish. And so he started investigating. Talked, looked, dug up the evidence, and he came to the conclusion that it was true. He ended up writing about it. He ended up leaving his job and ending up going working for a church, the case for Christ. I've got a couple of copies, actually, if you want to dig more into the evidence. Some would say, well, never mind about Jesus rising from the dead. What about the evidence that he existed or even died? And I was amazed to discover this weekend that a friend of mine from university days has written an article in The Guardian on Good Friday. You can go and read it, Guardians Online, about evidence for Jesus' existence and death. I mean, this is stuff you can examine and dig into. Stuff you can know and have confidence in. The resurrection story, just as they said in verse 24, these skeptical disciples in verse 34, they said, it's true, the Lord has risen, and it appeared to Simon. He was one of those people, Simon Peter, who was originally skeptical. This wasn't some fake news story. The resurrection story is a true story. It's a true story. It's real news. It is good news for me and for you. And it's spreading all over the world. People all over the world are checking it out. I love this little video, which just gives a sense of how this story is spreading. I think we'll show it now if we can, Mike.
This is what they felt like when it happened. And today, it's how we should feel too. Because what it meant for them, it means for us.
When you believe the resurrection story, when you come to that place of realizing it is true, it changes you. You've heard some of the stories of those who've come to realize that Jesus is good news for them. When you believe the story, you become part of the story. Because the story has within it this sense that Jesus said to them, look, he told them, this is what is written, verse 46, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. You see, the risen Jesus called those who believe in him, who come to discover that he is truly risen. He calls us to be a resurrection people. Folks, this is the second thing I want us to see this morning. Be a resurrection people. A people who are impacted by the truth of the story. Who come and look again at God's word. You notice in verse 45, Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. We take the evidence that others have written down, and we get familiar with it, and we dig into it. And what we discover is that this talks about how Jesus died and how he rose again. And then it talks about repentance and forgiveness of sins. I mean, what do these things have in common? Do you remember how we talked about the problem of death and doubts? Well, they're not the only problems we face. The Bible says we have a big ingrained problem, which it calls sin. That's why we need the forgiveness of sins. Sin, I sometimes describe to people as us basically putting our hand up to God and turning our back on him. It's like we go, shut up, God. I'm in charge. Nobody tells me what to do. And the Bible says in one way or another, we've all done that. And if we turn our back on the author of life, guess what? That's where the problem of death comes. But this is why the Messiah had to suffer. Because the problem of our sin is linked to the problem of death. And Jesus comes, the only one who never sinned, the only one who always did what God the Father wanted him to do. And he comes and he dies in my place and your place. He dies so that I could be forgiven and you could be forgiven. And the way we receive that forgiveness is by repenting. By repenting is literally turning back to God. Turning from going our way to going God's way. Turning and saying, yes, Jesus, I believe your good news for me. I want you to forgive me, yes, but also I want to follow you. I want to learn from you. I want to go your way. And amazingly, as we do that, God gives us this amazing gift. The gift that verse 49 talks about. This gift of being clothed with power from on high. Doesn't that sound amazing? This is the gift of the Holy Spirit that God puts within us so that we can be those witnesses. We can be those people who are bold and courageous and loving, even when others treat us without love, even when there is opposition, even like those people who last Sunday gathered in a church, or churches in fact, in Egypt, and others had come there to kill them, and bombs were exploded in two Palm Sunday services in Egypt last week. As we were praying for them this week as elders, one of my colleagues, Philip, one of our elders whose Egyptian background, said it's amazing the way the church is responding in Egypt. Praying for those who've attacked them, loving them, courageous still to proclaim the good news about Jesus. Hey, how do you live like that? Well, it's power. Power from on high. Power not to be afraid. Power to live without fear. Power to love. Power to follow God. Power to receive a peace that surpasses understanding, like Jesus says here. Peace be with you. To really receive that peace and know this peace. Power that enabled Peter, the very one who denied Jesus because he was afraid and run away. Power that came upon him so that in the very city where a few weeks earlier Jesus had been crucified and crowds had shouted, crucify him, Peter, clothed with power, stands up and he proclaims that Jesus is Lord and that he died and rose again. And there's such power that the crowd say, what must we do to be saved? Because they know what he's speaking is the truth. And you know how Peter responds to them? I imagine remembering Jesus' very words here. This is how he responds. In Acts 2 verse 38, he says this to them. He says, Peter replied, repent, turn around, and be baptized. Baptism is a symbol of saying, I want to die to an old life and I want to live for a new life in God. I want to turn back and believe in God. I want to be identified with Jesus' death and resurrection. I want to repent and be baptized. And Peter said, repent and be baptized. What's the next little bit? Say it again. Just what was that? Every one of you. He was speaking to a whole crowd in Jerusalem. And he said, you want to know what you need to do? Repent and be baptized. Every one of you. And these promises then. Of forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins. And the gift of this power of the Holy Spirit will be yours. And so as I come towards the end of my message, I want to say this. My longing for you is that you will know this forgiveness. This hope that Jesus brings. My longing for you is that you'll know his real love and his real power in your life. But I know that the message that I have to bring, if I'm to be faithful to this one who's done so much for me, is this message that Peter brought. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, and you will receive the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, these folks have asked to be baptized today because they want to repent and believe and say yes to Jesus. And I asked them four questions. And I want to give you an opportunity, if you've not been baptized this morning, if you would like to join them this morning and say, you know what, yeah, I want to repent. I want to be baptized. Maybe you're new to this thing, but you believe. Like the crowd did then in Jerusalem, and many thousands of them came forward to be baptized. You might say, you know what, we brought spare clothes. We've got spare clothes so that you don't need to worry about getting wet. And the questions I'm going to ask you that I ask them, you don't have to share your story or anything like that. They didn't do that on that first day when Peter preached it. But the questions I will ask are these. If you can say yes to these, do you admit you have sinned and in need of God's forgiveness? Do you repent of your sin and believe that Jesus Christ, that he died for you and he rose again so that you could be forgiven and have eternal life? And you commit by the help of the Holy Spirit and dependence on God's grace to serve him in the worldwide church? And will you hold fast to whatever the future holds, whatever difficulties, challenges, or even persecution? If you can say yes to those, and if you've not been baptized as an adult, as a believer, on your own, as it were, request, then it would be a privilege and a joy to see you take that step. There are others who have asked to be baptized. They can't be here today, and they're going to get baptized at the beginning of May. So this is not like your only opportunity, but you know what? We sometimes wait too long. When this gift is there for the taking, and Easter is about resurrection power. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to invite you in this prayer to join with me in putting your trust and turning and believing in Jesus. It's a prayer that I've taken from a little booklet, which I'd love to just give to any visitors or any people here. It's just called Why Jesus. It will kind of help you take home some of what I've been saying from this message today. But this is a prayer right at the end of it. It's up here on the screen, and I'm just going to echo this prayer and encourage you to pray it with me. So this is the prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong. Please forgive me. I now turn, I now repent from everything I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. How do you become a resurrection people? How do you be clothed with power from on high? By repenting, believing, being baptized. And so should we pray as an expression of our turning and believing in him. Let's pray right now. I'm going to pray this. Echo it in your heart with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything that I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me, so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.